I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson. Now, I feared that we would have an episode like this. Last week on CSN, I wrote about how important it was going to be for head coach Pete Carroll to tap into the creative side of his brain as this season wore on. Because not only were his Seahawks playing well, but the rest of the NFC West was an absolute tire fire. What that was going to create was a challenge for Carroll and his coaching staff to keep their players engaged as they trudged through this version of the dog days of the season. And yesterday, we saw what happens when they fail in that regard. From the moment Seattle kicked it off against Tampa Bay, it was evident that this was going to be a bad day all around. For one, their offense was starting three rookies on the offensive line, Jermaine Afidi, Joey Hunt, and George Fant, who was undrafted. They were without CJ Procise, another rookie who was quickly developing into their jack-of-all-trades player, and they were going to go up against a surging Tampa Bay squad coming off a big win over Kansas City. Before they knew it hit them, the lethal combination of Mike Evans and Jameis Winston had done all they needed to do. Two drives, two touchdowns for the young Tampa squad, and just like that, a really disinterested Seahawks team, they were done for. Seattle would finish the game with 5 points. They all came in a quick span in the second quarter. Tampa Bay gave them 2 points by having an offensive holding call in their own end zone, which is a new rule that's an automatic safety. And Seattle got the ball back. They got a field goal. But that was all she wrote. They would drop it 14-5. Now, Seattle's had some anemic offensive performances this season. They lost 9-3 to Los Angeles. They had that 6-6 tie to Arizona. But last night was a new level. And the part that should make Seahawks fans a little nervous is that the main culprit in their ineptitude was a supposedly 100% and healthy Russell Wilson. This was, by all accounts, the healthiest he has been since opening week. Yet he was so off his game that he was almost unrecognizable. He finished with 2 picks, which is the same amount he had entering the game on 335 attempts. And the rookies on the offensive line did him absolutely no favors. He was sacked 6 times. He was pressured countless more. And he was forced to scramble on seemingly every throw, which is normally a strength of his, but you don't want it to have to happen that often. He finished 17 of 33 for only 151 yards. A lot of his throws were 5 or 6 yards high over a receiver's head, or they would show a different camera angle and they would be 3 or 4 yards off to the left or to the right. I mean, he was so inaccurate that it made you wonder if the fact that their offensive line was so porous, if he knew that the pressure was coming and he was forcing things down the field. But it was so un-Russell Wilson, like it was like you were watching a different player, literally a different player. Now, the defense, despite giving up the 2 early touchdowns, was pretty stellar all night, in all things considered. They were still without Michael Bennett, and Earl Thomas' streak of 106 consecutive regular season starts was snapped as well. He didn't play. So when you factor in that they were without, arguably, their 2 best defenders, the 14 points is even more impressive, especially the way they bounced back after those first 2 possessions, as Tampa Bay marched down the field. No resistance at all, and it looked like the Winston to Evans connection would be a terror all game long. Evans finished with over 100 yards, but really didn't do a whole lot after those first 2 drives. Seattle's defense really stepped up because I think they knew deep down, like, hey, our offense isn't going to give us anything. If we want to have a chance to win this game, we have to pitch a shutout from here on out, and they did that to their credit. Winston was solid. He was 21 of 28 for 220 yards and the 2 touchdowns. But in the end, it really all came down to Seattle's inability to move the ball on offense with any sort of consistency. It's been a bugaboo all season. They could not run the ball. They couldn't get first downs on the ground, and they put everything on Wilson's shoulders. And as like I mentioned, from the moment the game started, he was way off and was not going to be able to lead them like he has a few times this season. And the couple times they did move him, when they did move down the field, he ended up throwing interceptions, especially towards late in the game. So really just a really porous performance all the way around. There's really no other way to describe it. Just this was an offense that looked so incapable of performing on a solid NFL level that you really have to wonder going forward, where is their heads at? Where are their heads at? Especially that offensive line. And I don't think it helped that even before they kicked it off yesterday, they knew that all three other teams in the NFC West had lost. And this is where the big cloud is going to hang over this team for the rest of the season. Like I said, I wrote about it early last week. Can Pete Carroll and his staff tap into different parts of the players' personnel? Because physically, when they're on their game, they're better than anybody in their conference. Excuse me, their division. And in reality, they could be better than anybody in the conference. I think Seattle or Dallas obviously gives them a big run for their money, but it's what they're going to do knowing that they don't have to win every single game. Because in reality, they could lose another three or four and still be fine because everybody else in the West is, or the NFC West is so bad. Now, that's not to say that a lack of focus was solely to blame for the performance last night. Those kind of games happen, so it could be a coincidence, and you can't really counterbalance three rookie offensive linemen against a good Tampa Bay defense. That was a horrible mismatch before the game even started. But it's hard to have watched that game and come away thinking that Seattle was truly locked in. Maybe the travel's beginning to play into things. They've already been on the East Coast now three times, played the Jets, the Patriots, and now the Buccaneers. And that's not easy for a team coming from all the way out west. Seattle already has to travel more than any team in the NFL. And now this year, they haven't been given any favors by being given the AFC East. It's not easy, and it's an element that is in play in this, I think, and that was a big part of what happened yesterday. But it's also human nature to ease off the gas pedal when you know, deep down, that you can skate and you can rest on your laurels a little bit. You can't emphasize enough just how awful the 49ers, the Rams, and the Cardinals are right now. Cardinals got blown out yesterday. San Francisco was close to Miami, but they end up dropping. Seattle has faced all three of these teams, so they have to know in the back of their minds that there's no way that any of those teams will catch them this season. There's five games left in the regular season. Are they going to be able to snap out of this before the playoffs start? Because you cannot flip a switch. We've seen that before in years past where teams will have clinched division, rested their players for a game or even two, and then they come out incredibly flat in the playoffs because they don't have any momentum. Seattle has to get this turned around. Mentally, they're getting healthy physically. They have to get ready mentally now at this point. After the game, Russell Wilson took the stand and he addressed the media.
Seemed to never get on track this afternoon. Can you describe what one or two things might have contributed to that?
Well, we just got to play better and we're looking forward to the next opportunity. It's pretty simple. You know, we got to find ways to make plays, and we will. We have it before, you know, and so we struggled a little bit tonight, obviously, and we're looking forward to getting back to it. You got to give Tampa Bay credit. They played a great football game.
What protection issues do you see?
You know, I got to watch the film. We got to see what we can do better. I got to figure out if I can get the ball out quicker and do some more things and find ways. We got to convert on third down, and that's where a lot of the game is. If we can do that and keep us on the football field, we've got a lot of great players out there, so we got to stay on the football field. And like I said, we got to find ways to make a couple more plays. I put it on me. We had two turnovers there, which we're trying to be in attack mode, and they found ways to make a couple plays. I take the blame for that, and we're looking forward to coming back next week and coming back swinging. Yeah, I felt great on the running. Obviously. So you're able to get some big runs in there. I don't care about the stats or running or anything like that. I just want to win.
Did you feel like there were plays out there that you guys were leaving out there, opportunities that you just didn't capitalize on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple more plays here and there. So as a collective effort, we just got to play better on offense, and we will. It takes one play at a time, being focused on that one play, not worrying about the play before, no matter how good it was or how bad it was or whatever. The same thing with the possession before, just staying in the moment. And we did there. We found a way to come back there at the end of the game, get some big plays, and continue to battle on some tough downs and tough situations. We still converted and we still found ways. So that shows that we can do it, and we're looking forward to it. We've played some very, very tough teams the past few weeks, and we found ways to win. And so we're looking forward to that next week, and we got a tough game at home, I believe it is, next week.
There were three straight possessions. They pinned you inside the 10. Yeah. How tough is that to get going when they can continue the game?
Well, that's always tough. When we got, you know, 95, 97 yards to go, it's always tough, but nothing that we can't do. We've done it before. We found ways, and like I said, we can convert on third down. We had some chances there to get the momentum, and we didn't. And they did a great job. Their defense played a really great game. Their players played at a high level, and so they got some talented players on their defense.
The last interception, just kind of trying to take a shot there?
Yeah, trying to take a shot. I mean, we've got to go win it. So, and the guy made a good play. So, I'll take that shot 10 times out of 10, and hopefully, they won't get it next time.
Did you see McDougal center field? You're just trying to make a play.
Yeah, you know, just trying to make a play. You got to find a way. You know, got to score. Time's running out, so we got to go. You can't play passive in those situations. And we try to make some big shots down the field. We also checked it down. Had some big third down conversions there at the end. So those are the positives in this game that we kept fighting. You know, and to be a championship team, you have to fight. You have to keep swinging. You can't play with any fear. And that's what we were able to do tonight. Unfortunately, we didn't win. But, you know, the great thing is we get back to work next week. You know, as I always say to you guys, win or loss, we're going to study the game and figure out what we can do better. What I can do better starts with me and continue to learn.
Head coach Pete Carroll, he spoke as well.
Really good showing by Tampa Bay. They outplayed us, and they beat us up front and did a fine job of getting themselves a win today. We had a chance to get back a number of times, had our ways to get back in it, but they just didn't open up the door for us. We couldn't make it happen. And so we did not play like we play. It didn't feel like it. And that starts right with me. If everybody kind of plays a little bit off, then that's me. And so I got to do my part. They got to do their part. And we got to get our game back and get rolling again. Such an oddity to be that far off in the throwing game and have trouble totally shut down on third down. It spells for bad game. Our field position was really huge. They did a great job of managing their field position and keeping us backed up, particularly when we had to get going in the second half. You know, we were ready to mount a comeback and get back into the thing, but they put us inside a 10-yard line, I think, three times and just made it really difficult. And we were able to hold on to the field position and did a nice job of that. So really just disappointed that we came all this way and played like that. We didn't play anywhere near like we thought we would.
What were the problems?
They rushed the heck out of us. It wasn't any one situation at all. They did a really nice job, and we didn't protect like we need to. And they had a big day. I think they had six sacks, and that's just crazy. We haven't been doing that at all. You know, we've been really on the other end of that, and so that's a real oddity for us. And so we got to get back to work and fix it.
Protection, the biggest issue of the passing game.
Well, that was surely factored in, yeah. That was, it's pretty hard. But Russ, they got six sacks, but they moved him a lot. Russ was running all over the place back there. We need to be quicker with the ball and get it out and not let that be a factor. And we didn't get on track with that really at any time in the game. You know, so it's just, we were just out of sync. It wasn't like we want to be.
How does Joey play? Was Justin close to being able to play? Or
Justin didn't make it back where he could have played, you know, in an emergency situation. He did pretty well in his pregame, but he didn't practice a snap all week long, and we didn't want to play him. We want to see if we can get him right and get him back out there. I can't tell you how Joey did, but we didn't do very well up front. But that wasn't Joey's issue at all.
What days would you take that defensive effort to win a game?
Well, as it turned out, you know, we didn't play very well. Getting out of here, getting out of the chutes, two huge drives. They were executed. They did everything, and they looked great. And then from that point on, you know, 14 points is going to win you games. Sure, we understand that. And defense played great throughout the rest of the game to keep us close. A couple turnovers were huge because we gave them the ball three times today. And I think we gave them the ball three times, you know, approaching or in the red zone, which that's the story of the game. You know, it always is. And when we give up three, we're going to be in trouble. It's going to be hard.
What went into the decision to go with Sal over Gilliam?
We want to see him play, see how he did, and just trying to make a comparison. And like I've been telling you, we try to make that a competitive situation and see what's best for us going down the road.
Wilson, is he okay?
He got a first-degree sprain, they said, knee sprain. I'll leave it at that. I don't get too specific. But they don't think it's bad, but they're going to have to check it out and do the MRI. It's not the same thing. It's the same knee, but it's a different issue.
the feel of the game you were going to pull out a little bit for you?
Yes, it did. It felt like we would. We just know how to do that. We've done it so many times. It just didn't. The right things didn't happen at the right time. We weren't able to pull it off. The big fourth down conversion, you felt like, okay, here it is. This is what's going to, you know, be the magic. We were looking at the situation about kicking a field goal down there, you know, and then knowing that we were going to have to score twice. We were tuned into that. We didn't quite get there to get that done, but that was, you know, one of the options.
How did you think the secondary with Adderall back there played?
Well, I think we held up fine. I think we did a nice job on the deep ball. They get us one time, but I thought Steve did fine back there. I thought gave him a little bit too much room, gave him some spacing in there. You know, he had a really hot night. I thought the quarterback was terrific. I'm really impressed with this guy. I was all through the week in preparing, and he kind of came out and showed us exactly what he showed, the high end of his game. And he's a really good player, and they got a really good combination, a couple combinations with Braid and with Evans, and those guys did really well.
You sense a lot of momentum is
I don't know. I've never used that phrase, so I'm not going to use it on this one. We got to get back right. We'll go right back to work. We got to go back to work. We got a big finish coming up in this season. You know, the main thing was just to admit that this was not the way we want to play, and then let's turn around. We'll turn our focus on the Ray home. We'll be talking about getting ready next week.
And you heard him address it to start there. This has to be on him and his coaching staff to get these guys in the right place mentally going forward. They're professional athletes. They're going to wander. They got, you know, they're making a lot of money. They have people coming at them from all different directions. They can't focus solely on football in the way that coaches can. So these coaches are watching the game film. They're watching them in practice. By Tuesday or Wednesday of a week, they can tell, okay, things are going to go the way they should be, or this team is off mentally. And that's where they have to intervene and say, hey, this needs to stop now. Starting tomorrow, or starting today, he has to look them in the eye and say their effort was unacceptable and that it cannot happen again. Because if one performance turns into two, two becomes three, and that's where they get in trouble. Here's three things that I learned after last night's 14-5 loss in Tampa Bay. Number one, Seattle's offense, no matter how healthy Wilson is going to be inconsistent and a liability all season long. The offensive line continues to be a problem, and now, with injuries, they're baby-faced. I mean, their most dynamic player, C.J. Procise, is probably done for the year, or the regular season at least. They could get him back for the playoffs, but then you have to wonder, what you know, health-wise, where's he going to be? Conditioning-wise, where's he going to be? And the receivers are not doing their part to separate. Aside from Wilson, mostly, and Jimmy Graham for the last few weeks, there isn't a guy right now that can pull this unit up. And it doesn't, and help doesn't appear to be on the way now that Procise is out. Number two, teams are not afraid of Seattle like they once were. This isn't a real surprise because it's the NFL and this league is full of guys and teams that make the same amount of money as the Seattle players. There's no intimidation factor in terms of these guys are so far above us from a pay scale or a veteran leadership standpoint. But there was a 2 or 3 year stretch where the Seahawks had a definite intimidation factor. And Tampa Bay is a young squad, but as young as they were, they came out and punched Seattle right in the face yesterday. They weren't scared one bit. And come playoff time, no one that they could face, especially those two rookies in Dallas, if you've been watching, are going to be afraid of the Seahawks team either, especially if they limp into the playoffs. Number three, Tom Cable is regarded as a top 2 or 3 offensive line coach in the NFL, and he's absolutely deserving of that ranking. And the line, for the most part, and we've talked ad nauseum about him this year, but they have been steadily improving as the year has progressed. But the unit that they trotted out yesterday will cost them their season come playoff time, because you cannot play three rookies unless somehow they're all highly drafted first-round talents at the same time on the offensive line. And with all due respect to Joey Hunt and George Fant, 6th-round pick and an undrafted guy, that's unacceptable. Wilson was getting destroyed all game long, and the running game was once again non-existent. They finished with 127 yards rushing, but that's incredibly misleading because 80 of it came from Wilson, most of the time when he was just scrambling because the line had broke through, and there was this Ole effect of the entire Tampa defensive line chasing him out of the backfield, and he just happens to be faster than a lot of guys, so he ended up getting 80 of his yards just from trying to get the hell out of the way. Something has got to change with this unit. What that is, we don't know. Getting some guys back healthy, not having to rely on the three rookies is a big deal, but let's say going forward, the unit yesterday is what they're going to have to rely on. Cable has his workout cut out for him, because if that's what they go into the playoffs for, they're going to be one and done. There's no way they can win a game with the offensive line being that bad. Now, Seattle's back home next Sunday for yet another Sunday night game, this time against the reigning NFC champion, Carolina. Now, the Panthers let a surefire win in Oakland slip through their fingers yesterday, so it'll be very interesting to see how they bounce back, because Oakland is one of the best teams in the NFL, and Carolina had them down. They were down big early, stormed back, grabbed the lead, and then let it slip through their fingers at the end. And they're 4-7 on the year, but don't let that fool you, because this is still a dangerous Panthers team. And with the line play of the Seahawks, nothing is guaranteed. And what does Carolina have? They have a very solid defense. So this is another perfect example of a matchup playing a bigger role than anything else. It's not record versus record. It's not home or away. Carolina's got a pretty dominant defense. Seattle has a eyesore of an offense right now. That is what's going to be the equalizer. If Seattle can hold up somehow against that Panthers defense, they should be okay. If not, and they let Carolina do what Tampa Bay did, it could be another very long night up in Seattle. Well, that's going to do it here for this edition of Hawks Talk. Thanks, as always, for listening. Hope you had a good turkey day, by the way. It was good, and you're clothes still fit afterwards. You didn't eat too much food, but hope it was a good one. Hope everybody had a safe travels. I'll be back next Monday. Let's do this all again.